If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is getting desperate. With the war in Ukraine dragging into its eighth month and a counteroffensive by Ukraine gaining back ground, in a rare televised address, he called for a mobilization of reserve soldiers, said to number some 300,000, the first such call-up since World War II.
To protect our motherland, its sovereignty, and territorial integrity.
Putin also backed sham votes in areas of Ukraine now occupied by Moscow. They're expected to rubber stamp joining Russia.
We will support the decision about the future which will be taken.
Man, anytime I hear a sentence end with the phrase, since World War II, it makes me nervous.
Dr. Jeff McCausland is the CBS News military consultant, founder and CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, LLC, retired colonel from the United States Army, among other distinctions. Jeff, it's always a pleasure. How are you, sir?
Doing very well, guys. Great to be with you.
I've got a couple of specific questions I know I want to get to, but first, just what was your reaction when Putin gave his big speech talking about the calling up to 300,000 and threatening nuclear war?
Well, you know, Yogi Berra, who is a very famous Yankee and philosopher, once said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. And I think that's what Mr. Putin did. He had two options as things have gotten very, very dismal for him for the last several weeks. One was to escalate, and the second one was to suddenly have the propaganda machine start churning out how successful we've been. We spanked the Ukrainians. We killed off all the Nazis and called for a ceasefire to kind of freeze this in place and try to get the Europeans to bring Zelensky to the negotiating table. Obviously, he picked the fork for the escalation, and he's escalated in three ways. One, you mentioned that, of course, is the calling up of 300,000 reservists. The second was this rattling of the nuclear saber, though I want to point out this also is part of the narrative because it's described in terms of Russia is threatened, the motherland is threatened. It's not about taking over territory or spanking Nazis. He's pinning this as, you know, Russia is now threatened and will use these weapons to defend our integrity. And then the third escalation, of course, was this now sham referendums that are going to occur over the next several days in the areas occupied by Russia, actually making that Russian territory.
Well, then the extension of that thought being, well, if the Ukrainians attack, quote unquote, Russian territory, he's justified in using at least tactical nukes, a possibility too horrifying to contemplate, although I suppose we have to.
Exactly right. And that puts that degree of at least ambiguity that he could escalate to that point now to defend those particular territories because they're now Russian. This has always been a point of concern since this war began, because the Ukrainians have talked a lot about liberating all their territory, and they would tell you that includes Crimea, which the Russians took in 2014, and the Duma voted to make that, incorporate that into the Russian Federation. So from the Russians' perspective, Crimea has been Russian territory since 2014. So that question of using nuclear weapons to defend territorial integrity has been out there. Now he expands that. But I come back to the point, this also serves to try to motivate the population back in, back in Russia by saying this is all about defense of the homeland. Because he's tried to, I think, insulate the population from the ill effects of this war. And probably since this being a partial mobilization, I still think has a concern that doing so will elicit some kind of social disruption in Russia amongst the population response. And we've seen some evidence of that in the last 48 hours.
Well, backing up a couple of weeks, which is what led us to Putin's speech the other day when Ukraine had their stunning blitzkrieg driving the Russians out of a whole bunch of areas that nobody seemed to predict. Which led it to this, and I don't know what your opinion is of General David Petraeus, former CIA director and commander, but he said the other day on CNN that he stated that the outcome of the war is no longer in doubt. Ukraine is going to win. It could be a slow slog, but they are going to. This is a major tide turning, you know, event. Do you agree with that? Do you think the tide has turned that much?
Well, I know Dave fairly well, and I've got great respect for Dave. I think this could be looked at as an inflection point that's normally found in retrospect as opposed in the immediate moment. I think at this moment we can say one thing for sure. Russia has lost this war. There's no two ways about it. Their objective was to take over Ukraine, put down the Zelensky government. They failed in doing that. Then their objective was to seize at least the coastland all the way over to Odessa. They failed to do that. Now they're sort of concentrating on trying to secure these provinces, Luhansk and Donetsk. They've now failed to do that. And this counteroffensive makes it virtually impossible. And in the foreseeable future, they're going to do that. So now this whole war is back to defending the homeland. My goodness, you were invaded. Now it's all about you're the victim, which is kind of an odd way to turn things around. So, and the effect on the Russians in terms of the loss of life, 100,000 casualties, massive amounts of military hardware, the reputation of the Russian military is in total disrepute. It will take years and years just to rebuild the military of Russia if they stop today. And that doesn't even account for the effects this is going to have on the Russian economy longer term. And some economists have told me it might be 50 years before they recover from this. 500,000 Russians have fled, most of them young people who are very bright. A so-called brain drain has occurred. So Russia has lost. Whether or not Ukraine has won, you got to define what win looks like. If Wynn is taking back all those territories, that could be hard. If it's going back to the status quo ante, that's certainly possible.
Jeff McCausland, CBS News military consultant on the line. Jeff, given the state of the disrepair of the Russian military, as you mentioned, what's it going to look like trying to incorporate some portion of that 300,000 young men called up? I mean, these are guys who are having to be dragged into the battle.
In most cases, I think that's going to be true, and it's going to take a long period of time. This is not going to have any really significant military impact in the immediate future. It's going to take a significant period of time to identify these people, bring them up in a fashion that your training base can at least give them some modest amount of retraining. They all have some military experience, and then either form new units or use those of individual replacements to fill out units that have suffered some degree of casualties. They'll probably initially start with officers to fill out officers in units that have been lost, people with special skills, think of doctors or medical people. They might start bringing some of them in fairly quickly. But in terms of overall military significance, it's going to take a longer period of time. I don't think we'll see the effects of that really occurring until next spring. Secondarily, of course, it has some other effects which are interesting, and that is part and parcel of its announcement also was what we would call in the U.S. military stop loss. So if you're a Russian soldier right now serving in Ukraine and your enlistment is supposed to run out sometime between now and the end of winter, guess what? You've just been extended until the war is over. Congratulations. That's not going to be a real morale booster. oh, by the way, and we've seen evidence already in some of the demonstrations that are occurring, that some of the demonstrators, when they're arrested, are immediately drafted. They get their draft notice just because you're out there demonstrating. Again, not going to be a real morale case if you are actually put into uniform. And we've seen throughout this particular offensive over the last few weeks that morale and cohesion in the Russian forces is rather disastrous, with Russian units refusing to fight in some cases. We've seen Russian soldiers taking off their uniforms, putting on civilian clothes and running away, writing letters to their parents telling them that it's a humanitarian crisis, they have no food or water. And those are the issues that Russia is going to have to deal with as it tries to bring this 300,000-man force into the military to have some significant effect.
Yeah, I just had a thought. I'm going to call an audible. Joe, you have any more questions about Russia?
I'm good.
What did you think when the President of the United States said the other day that, we're willing to risk blood and treasure to defend Taiwan from China?
Yeah, this has been an interesting one. Mr. Biden, I think, has said this basically about four times now, that the United States would defend Taiwan. And repeatedly, his staff kind of walks it back because the United States has, for the last 34 years, had this two-China policy, recognizing, that China is the government, but at the same time having strategic ambiguity about how we'll react. And I have to think that Mr. Biden is not doing this and making mistakes four times over. He's just trying to, over time, I think, enhance that degree of ambiguity to the Chinese about how the United States would respond. And that ambiguity, I think, would be argued in the Pentagon, enhances the deterrent effect. And secondarily, I think if the Chinese look at what's occurred to the Russians in the Ukraine, they might be a bit more somber about the possibility of invading Taiwan. The response from the West, that a smaller country can respond pretty vigorously on the defense. Oh, by the way, it's an amphibious assault, the most difficult military operation going. So I think Mr. Xi might take this a bit more somber when he thinks about the possibility of a military invasion of Taiwan.
Man, the twists and turns of history, I know you're a history buff, just Putin's single-man decision to invade Ukraine goes horribly wrong, might end up stopping China from invading Taiwan, which would have started World War III. So World War III is averted because Putin's a nut job. I mean, just, history's weird that way.
Well, I hope you're correct in all those particular things you just said.
Yeah. Dr. Jeff McCausland, CBS News military consultant, always enlightening. Jeff, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. While getting back to the whole strategic ambiguity thing, while the way it unfolded is kind of funny and odd, with Biden saying, oh, yeah, yes, we would defend them with our troops. Yes. And then 5 minutes later, the White House is like, no, or maybe, I don't know, no, we haven't changed policy. Our policy is we don't have a policy. I've got to admit, it ends up with ambiguity. I mean, will the United States use their might directly to defend China? They're not saying, but it sure looks like they will. Is a better place than pure ambiguity, honestly.
Sure. All my hawkish friends like where we ended up, as you just heard. I don't know that McCausland's a hawk, but he was okay with it. He thinks the Pentagon's okay with it. I'm okay with it. It's a thought-out strategy. If that's on purpose, I think it's great. If it's the president goes off half-cocked and it ends up being okay, that's not good.
As a man with a degree in international relations, what we call this is the let me at him doctrine. And his staff is just barely holding him back. if it works, it works.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, all right.
Can we have less war? Sorry to come off like Abby Hoffman over here or Bob Dylan or something, but
An 8-year-old girl joins the show, apparently. Can we stop, have less war?
Can we stop killing each other,
you
please?
Child?
I know.
I understand. I just saw this headline from The Hill. Nothing in our history prepares Americans for what's likely to arrive this November.
All right, let me up. I've had enough.
Stay tuned for that and other stories coming up.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
For me,
I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
Ever since I was told that corn was real, it tasted good.
Did you think corn wasn't real?
But when I tried it with butter, everything changed. I love corn. I mean, then look at the stem. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's corn.
Can you describe corn to someone who's never tasted it before?
A big lump with knobs. It has the juice. It's the part that mostly makes me like the corn.
How much do you think corn should cost?
$1.
That's a guy, I wish I had his name in front of me. That's a guy who does these incredible sweet interviews with kids on TikTok. That's his TikTok channel. And that kid has become known as, appropriately, the Corn Kid.
He probably can't read because of Dr. Fauci's lockdowns.
I represent science.
That's wow. Me turning cute and enjoyable into conflict and anger.
Can we do the other Corn Kid clip first?
Oh, we have more Corn Kid clip? Okay.
Yes, we do. Then anger. Give us 12, Michael. Come on now.
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
It's corn. A big lump of knobs. It has the juice. It has the juice. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's corn. I can tell you all about it. I mean, look at this thing. When I tried it with butter, everything changed.
When I tried it with butter, everything changed. Amen to that, son. Amen to that.
It's corn. You should try it.
Oh, beautiful.
That is fantastic. God, I like little kids. I'm telling you, when I retire, I'm going to be a babysitter, but only for 2 to 4 year olds.
Wow.
And that seems to be most people's like least favorite age to deal with. I love
it.
I think 2 to 4 year olds my favorite. That's Please. What I want to specialize in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Terrible twos, the wonderful twos. Anyway, back to anger and division. The headline is, and it's a little misleading, Fauci admits he knew, admits is one of those great words. If you ever see admit in a headline, it's almost always misleading on some level. But anyway, Fauci admits he knew draconian lockdowns would have collateral negative consequences on school children. Sometimes when you do draconian things, it has collateral negative consequences, like when you shut things down even temporarily. It does have deleterious consequences on the economy, on the school children. You know that. But you have to make a balance when you're dealing with, we know the only way to stop thinking cold in its track is to try to shut things down. If you shut things down just for the sake of it, that's bad. But if you do it with the purpose of being able to regroup so that you can open up in a more safe way, that's the best way to do it.
Okay? Exactly. That's why it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
And that's why the school stayed shut down for like 2 years while nobody else in the world did that.
Well, half the schools, the red states didn't, and everybody's
right,
fine.
Right, right, right. It's one of the worst things we've ever done policy-wise in our nation's history. And I don't know that there's ever going to be a reckoning for this. I heard the author of the book, Pandemic 1918, I forget which book it is, or a number of books that were written about the influenza of 1918 that killed so many gazillion people in the United States. And one of the points made in that book is how when that pandemic was over, the reason you never learned about it in school, most people were completely unaware until a couple of years ago that we had had this giant pandemic in 1918 that killed more people than World War I did in America. It's just, because when the pandemic was over, nobody wanted to talk about it anymore. It just, people were sick of it for all kinds of different reasons. One, it had dominated their lives and they just wanted it to be over. Let me know if any of this sounds familiar. There were all kinds of decisions made personally and politically that people either were or weren't happy with. Not everybody was happy about their own behavior and reaction, and people just wanted to move on. And so it didn't even really get talked about for like 80 years. No, just nobody talked about it at all. And I think we're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, I felt so strongly. I kept this article around the studio. School closures were a catastrophic error. Progressives still haven't reckoned with it. Sometimes you need to own up to an error so it's not repeated. That was by a liberal journalist in the Intelligencer. Got a lot of attention, but not enough.
Yeah, I got a question about that when we come back. If you miss an hour of this show, get the podcast.
Armstrong.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Just wanted to follow up a little bit on the pandemic conversation. This Fauci admits he knew draconian lockdowns would have collateral negative consequences. I'm not sure that's fair. I'm sure he did know that. I don't think he was completely unaware that there were negative things that could happen out of shutting down businesses and schools. I wish we'd have had a better conversation nationally about the whole thing. A lot of it had to do with Trump, as we've talked about. But anyway, my main point with this was, after the flu in 1918, which was the last time we had one of these big pandemics, when it was over, nobody wanted to talk about it. It has been discussed by historians how it just disappeared from our national consciousness. And I didn't grow up knowing about it. And every once in a while, it would be brought up. Also, in the midst of World War One, there was a worldwide plague that killed a gazillion peoples. Anyway,
it was like the Johnstown flood. It was just you'd heard the name, and maybe you once read a paragraph.
Right, and it's weird. And it just it seems to be that when it was over, it was a long slog. Lots of people died. A lot of people got angry for a whole bunch of different reasons. And when it was over, nobody wanted to talk about it anymore. And so they didn't. And so it disappeared. And I feel like we're doing that again. The Republican Party is not running on, look what those bastards did to our schools and our businesses.
No, oh my gosh, you're right.
They are not. And we're barely out of it.
It's nowhere as an issue.
It is nowhere as an issue heading into November. So don't expect it to be come the next presidential election. If it's not now, it ain't going to be. It's just gone.
You know, I haven't seen opinion polling for a very long time on, for instance, closing the schools and that sort of thing. I remember discussing in the midst of it the fact that the entire major media apparatus was absolutely echoing the views of the left. The Trump obsessed crowd, that anything Trump was for, they were against, no matter how sensible, that we have to keep the schools closed. I mean, there's just no doubt. And how frustrating that was. And I wonder what public opinion polls would be if you asked something fairly simple, like, was it a mistake to close the schools for as much as we did for as long as we did?
I wonder about that, too, but I feel...
In blue states, because, again, dozens of states didn't, and everybody was fine.
The intellectual part of me wants to have that conversation and make people pay a price for having done it. The emotional part of me, though... is like, yeah, it happened, it's over, let's just, all right, what's next? And I think that's what happened in 1918, and I think that's what we're going to do now.
Well, the logical part of you is absolutely right, especially given the fact that the CDC and the WHO, National Institutes of Health, all had in place protocols for pandemics based on transmissibility, death rates, etc. What do we shut down? How soon and for how long? All of that was ready to go. Then we got into the COVID, and because Trump said open it up, the entire political and media apparatus said shut it down. And those protocols that were so carefully come up with that nobody talks about, nobody's even heard about unless they listen to this show, they were just ignored. And I would like something like a consensus to come out of this. Okay, let's have a plan. So we don't panic or fall victim to our animalistic political urges when it comes to the futures of children and the health of the economy, for God's sake. Let's talk about it calmly before it starts. Let's have a fire drill. Let's have an evacuation plan and not just run around like crazed adolescents if it happens again. But, you know.
No, the Republican Party is not running on it. And which means... if it ain't this election, it's going to be never. So it's just over. We're moving on.
That is how you say exactly right. Something frustrating.
I had a friend who is one of the many anti-Trump people in America who was very excited about the news of the day yesterday. And it was interesting to me that it was just kind of a mishmash of personal financial stuff about Trump and the Mar-a-Lago classified documents, which have nothing to do with each other completely. I mean, they're completely different stories. But the Trump-hating world was just excited that we might have him. We're going to get him somehow.
Yeah.
Well, lost in that, I think, was some of the reality about the so-called fraud part of the news cycle yesterday. And we've got more on that in just a second.
Yeah, we can explain that to you. It's those are two very, very different cases. Yeah. You're right about that. Yeah. Here are two very, very different cases. A quick word from our friends at HelloFresh. In the one case, you're standing there looking at each other like you do every late afternoon / early evening saying, I didn't thaw anything. What should we have? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. The kids hate that. I don't know.
Oh, God, I hate that part.
Oh, I know.
The kids
I
hate
know.
That.
It was like the worst part of my life as a dad. Anyway, or you have HelloFresh, which takes care of the shopping and prepping, the pre-measuring, but everything, you whip it up then fresh. So you have delicious meals, great variety, and believe it or not, you save money.
HelloFresh is not only cheaper than the grocery store, but it's also 25% cheaper than getting takeout. HelloFresh lets you choose from over 30 weekly recipes, 70 seasonal and convenience items every single week, including quick and easy meals to delicious snacks and sides.
And it's so customizable. Do you want them to take care of one dinner per week or three or four or whatever you like? That's fine. Get 16 free meals across 7 boxes with the code Armstrong16. HelloFresh.com/Armstrong16. Once again, it's HelloFresh.com/Armstrong16 because you get to 16 meals, you see.
Laura Engel can explain one portion of the Trump news of yesterday.
The 220-page lawsuit accuses Mr. Trump and his family of making more than 200 false and misleading asset valuations in the company's financial statements since 2011, including the former president's triplex apartment in Trump Tower, which he claimed is 30,000 square feet. James says it's less than 11,000.
This investigation revealed that Donald Trump engaged in years of illegal conduct to inflate his net worth, to deceive banks and the people of the great state of New York.
Yeah, but the apartment has mirrors that make it feel bigger. They got some windows. It has a great feel.
I haven't got the slightest idea if that is right in line with what lots of business people do or if that is, like, way beyond the pale. I have no idea. I know that it's common to claim your house is worth more and that next house you're about to buy is worth less.
Yeah. Yeah. So Letitia James is the prosecutor in charge of this case, and it is just so egregious to me. She ran on every speech she gave. She said, I'm going to get Trump. I'll get him for something. Elect me. Now she is prosecuting for him for this. I mean, maybe it's true. I don't know. I haven't looked at his books, but it stinks in our system. To have a prosecutor, bills of attainder or laws against a specific person, they're unconstitutional. She's like a prosecutor of attainder. Here she is in 41.
Claiming you have money that you do not have does not amount to the art of the deal. It's the art of the steal.
Oh, devastating. And it rhymes. Extra credit.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
When it rhymes, you're really in trouble.
When it rhymes, there must be crimes.
Do we want our prosecutors making up wacky rhymes? Innocent till proven guilty, or just
wacky rhymes about people they vowed to prosecute no matter what it took before they were elected. Good Lord. Meanwhile, Bill Barr, old Barr, who was the AG under Trump there for a cup of coffee, and he was a lackey and a Trump loyalist and a liar, according to the mainstream media, until he criticized Trump harshly in the wake of January 6th. Then he was a hero and a paragon. Well, he's probably back to being a villain again because he had this to say about this prosecution.
I'm not even sure she has a good case against Trump himself, but what ultimately persuades me that this is a political hit job is she grossly overreaches when she tries to drag the children into this. Yes, they had roles in the business, but this was his personal financial statement. It was prepared by the CFO. Accounting firms were involved in it. The children aren't going to know the details of that and be able, and nor are they expected in the real world to do their own due diligence and have it, you know, reviewed independently. And so this to me looks like gross overreach, which I think is going to end up backfiring on them, because I think it will make people sympathetic for Trump, that this is another example of people piling on because of Trump derangement syndrome, this, you know, this strong desire to, you know, to punish him.
I hadn't looked into the details of this at all, but when they threw in the children, I thought, really, the kids would be involved in knowing how they were overvalued? Like Ivanka's sitting down and trying to figure out the actual value of the building, and I find that hard to believe.
Well, and again, in terms of Trump's personal financial statement.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I trust Bill Barr's judgment on this sort of stuff, because he's been very even-handed in dealing with all things Trump. And, you know, but you can't talk sense to activists. I mean, you can't tell them, look, on the Mar-a-Lago classified documents stuff, Trump doesn't have much of a leg to stand on. Because, you know, I don't know how much trouble he's in or how significant it's going to be or what decision the DOJ is going to make in terms of prosecuting him. But some of the stuff he's claiming is just silly. He's not on solid ground there. But this one looks extreme. It stinks, honestly. It just stinks in so many ways that ought to be repugnant to all Americans for the reasons we've mentioned. But they throw it all up against the wall and scream that it's all righteous and the rest of it. It's just, it makes you cynical and it does make you sympathetic.
Well, is this a you go to jail for it or you pay a fine for it? Or what is the crime here? And how much damage would it do him politically? He's a businessman that overvalued his assets. I assume that's what lots of gazillionaires do. So I just wonder how much political effect it would have.
None. Oh, well, that reminds me, I came across some interesting polls the other day. There's a new poll out, who did it? New York Times. And it's interesting. It's approval. It's a million different things, but among other things, it's approval ratings for Trump. Now, we just did the NBC Marist poll or whatever it was, a while back that had Trump significantly upside down in terms of approval. He actually did better in the New York Times poll because it was simply approve, disapprove. Whereas the NBC poll gave you shades of strongly disapprove, disapprove somewhat, neutral, somewhat approve, etc. When you had to choose yes or no, yes fared much better than it had in the other poll. Now, Trump was still upside down, but I thought that was kind of interesting. But even more interesting, and apropos to our discussion right now, is the fact that they go through the history of Trump's approval ratings, and they have not budged through ups, downs, scandals, investigations, accusations, etc. for the last couple of years.
Right.
No movement.
That is not surprising to me.
So to your question, if Letitia James, the activist prosecutor, gets him for claiming his apartment's bigger than it is, will that have any political effect? No, would be the answer. None.
I have some really good news for those of you worried about a killer asteroid.
Really, I think we all are, aren't we?
Really good news about that.
If you're not, you're a fool.
It's not an immediate concern, I must admit. But and a bunch of other stuff. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
It's National Mini Golf Day, so get out and enjoy some... I can't even finish the sentence.
It's a fine pastime.
Sure. Good news if you're worried about an asteroid smashing into Earth. Stay tuned for that.
First, we present to you a man on a Zoom conference call when a squirrel runs into the room.
And I think for the purposes of town hall...
Wow. Wow. The man card authorities are en route to his house as we speak.
I feel like it was an overreaction to the presence of a squirrel, and then the tenor of his shrieks was less than John Wayne-ian.
And the fact that he was shrieking in terror for his wife to come intercede is the final straw. Your Honor, the jury is ready with a verdict. We don't need to deliberate.
I'm going to have to ask you to turn in your man card.
One more time, Michael.
And I think for the purposes of town hall...
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
I think I'd have to kill myself if that audio came out of me reacting that way. I couldn't live with the shame of having reacted that way to a squirrel.
I'm sure his wife said something to the effect of, "You're no longer welcome here, if you know what I mean."
Yeah, or here, or this rough area.
Yes, keep your seed to yourself. Wow. So terrible.
Oh, my God, right.
I mean, I got to admit, if all of a sudden there's a squirrel in the room, you're going to get a WTF out of me.
Holy crap. Jeez. You know,
what
whatever.
The? Right.
But not the...
Oh, so terrible. I feel bad for the guy.
I do, too. Like I said, I don't know. You'd have to change your name, grow a mustache, and move to Mexico. I mean, those are your only... You got to start a new life where they don't know that you're an 8-year-old girl if a squirrel shows up.
Oh, boy. Apologies to 8-year-old girls.
Oh, my God. I really feel like I need to hear it one more time.
Oh.
It's short.
And I think for the purposes of town hall...
No. Nope.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh. Yeah.
Sir, we're going to ask you to turn in your Y chromosome. Sorry.
I think he should be castrated, probably.
That's done. It's already done.
Yeah,
he castrated
exactly.
Himself. Rarely seen humiliation castration.
NASA is going to save us from the squirrel of an asteroid, he says in a transition that wasn't necessary.
One of the worst.
They've got a spacecraft up in the air, in space, on track to slam an asteroid and push it off course. This will be the biggest test ever on this sort of thing. And if successful, will prove that, if we ever identify a big asteroid that is headed toward Earth, you know, like the one that wiped out the dinosaurs and practically all plant life on Earth, I mean, all life of all kinds on Earth, you know, that'd be a bad thing.
Who was that gal who ran for president who said, "We slam it"?
Right.
Williamson, somebody or other.
But so it looks like it's going to work. That'll be cool. That's very, very cool.
But yeah, I mean, one less thing to worry about. For me, as a voter, my issues are inflation and killer asteroids.
One less thing to worry about.
We slam it like nobody's business.
That's right. Coming up next hour, an update on the bizarrely giant-breasted, so strange Canadian teacher story. We've been talking about it on the One More Thing podcast, which is a podcast that we do 4 days a week, and then Michael handles the fifth. Might be 5 minutes long, might be 15 minutes long. Something we didn't talk about on the air, maybe just because we didn't get to it. Maybe it's very racy. Maybe it involves foul language or adult themes. But Armstrong and Getty One More Thing podcast available where you like to get podcasts, including armstrongandgetty.com.
Speaking of podcasts, I'd like to have Tim Sandifer on so that we could talk to him about his recent participation in the National Constitution Center's convening of experts to look at... updating the Constitution. It's really a cool idea. They get a whole bunch of smart people like Tim together with three different teams, you know, but people that lean this way or that way with their politics, and talk seriously about updating the Constitution.
And then the three teams compete on an obstacle course.
Tim was involved in Team Liberty. Ilya Shapiro was the captain, and Tim was on that team. And it says here, "We thought our job was easiest because all we really needed to do was add 'and we mean it' to every existing provision and call it a day."
Beautiful. Yeah, let's do a podcast with them.
"And we mean it."
Quit trampling on it.
If you ever miss an hour of the show, grab the podcast Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.